Hello and welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Alana Glatt, and today we will be studying Sefer Shmuel Aleph Perek Chaf Hei, Chapter 25. In our learning of Perek Chaf Dalet yesterday, we found David and his men hiding in the wilderness of En Gedi, the beautiful nature reserve made up of rocky terrains, beautiful waterfalls, caves, and wild ibex. We saw that while in a cave not far off from the main road, David was presented with a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to harm Shaul HaMelech when Shaul happened to enter alone into the very same cave that David and his men were already in. But instead of giving in to surmounting pressure from his men, David chose to act with remarkable restraint, refusing to touch Shaul HaMelech, Hashem's anointed one. And he even regretted slightly cutting the king's cloak, which, unbeknownst to him, was the very sign foretold by Shmuel HaNavi that Shaul's kingship would indeed pass on to David. We also saw that upon stepping out of the cave, David revealed the truth of what had just occurred with humility and dignity, moving Shaul to tears and to a rare moment of clarity, openly acknowledging David's righteousness and future kingship. Yet our learning ended off with David, ever perceptive, returning to hiding, knowing the incredibly moving moment, unfortunately, would not last. In today's jam-packed perek, Perek Chaf Hei, we will now join along as the Navi tells us of a side story which occurs alongside one of David and his men's many escapades, and we will be introduced to some intriguing new characters for today, namely Naval, a difficult fellow from the tribe of Yehuda, and his righteous wife, Avigail, who is actually recorded as one of the Sheva Nevi'ot, one of the seven female prophetesses of all time, alongside Sarah Imenu, Miriam, Devorah, Chana, the mother of Shmuel HaNavi, Huldah, and Esther Amalka. But first, before our story begins for today and our parak truly unfolds, Pasuk Aleph shares with us the sad news of the passing of the great and holy Shmuel HaNavi at the age of 52. Vayamat Shmuel, vayikatsu kol Yisrael, vayispidulo, vayikberuhu bebeito berama, vayakam David, vayired al midbar paran. The holy and righteous prophet Shmuel passed away, and all of the Bnei Israel gathered and eulogized him, and they buried him at his home in Ramah. And David then arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. Shmuel, the righteous prophet for whom our entire Sefer is named after, the prophet who served the Jewish people loyally for his entire life and himself was anointed, had anointed both Shaul and David. His passing is recorded here precisely following the conclusion of yesterday's perek, because when Shaul conceded to David and acknowledged that he would indeed be the next king of Israel, Shmuel's prophecy was completed. His true purpose had been fulfilled. And out of deep respect for their incredible, beloved and holy prophet and leader, Shmuel, all of the Bnei Israel gathered together to eulogize and pay their final kavod to him. And although it was a true risk to David's own life, as David knew Shaul himself would likely attend the holy Shmuel's funeral, David's deep sense of appreciation and hakarat hatov for Shmuel ran far deeper, and he chose to attend even at great personal risk. It's interesting, Rav Eliyahu Yedid in his beautiful work, Sheva HaNevi'ot, actually points out that this parak opens up by telling us about David's attending Shmuel's funeral out of a deep sense of hakarat hatov, because it draws for us a strong contrast to the story we're about to learn about in Pasuk Bet, where Naval takes the opposite approach and refuses to both attend Shmuel's funeral or express hakaras hatov to David and to his own men. And following the uplifting levaya for their beloved leader, the pasuk goes out of its way to emphasize that David and his men then switch their hiding spot to a new location in the wilderness of Paran. The Metzudas David points out that although David risked himself to attend the levaya and to show the proper kavod acharon to his great Rebbe and leader, as soon as he left, he made sure to move to a new hiding place in order to take the proper precautions in case he or his secret hiding spots had been seen by passerby on the way to the levaya. And so David and his men ended up in the wilderness of Paran. And Pasuk Bet now introduces us to our newest characters for today. V'ish b'ma'on u'ma'asehu b'karmel, v'ha'ish gadol me'od v'lotzon shloshat alafim v'alaf izim, v'ayhi b'gzoz atzono b'karmel. And there was a man in Ma'on whose business was in Carmel, and this man was very, very wealthy. He owned 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and at this juncture in time, he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. The Abarbanel notes that while the entire rest of Am Yisrael was in the middle of mourning the loss of the great Shmuel HaNavi himself, this man was busy with his private business matters, focusing on the shearing of his sheep and planning a festive meal which he would have in that honor, truly distancing himself from the klal, an indication of his deep character. Rav Yedid also continues and offers from his Sefer Sheva HaNevi'ot a lot of interesting additional insights about whether Naval, as a member of a prestigious family from the tribe of Yehuda, was perhaps personally slighted in not having been chosen as the next king. And that was why he purposely didn't mourn for Shmuel, who anointed David. A lot more to unpack for another time. Already the psukim are priming us here as to how we're meant to view this personality we're about to properly be introduced to in Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel, V'shem ha'ish Naval, V'shem ishto Avigail, V'ha'isha tovat sechel v'yifat to'ar, V'ha'ish kasheh v'ra, ma'ala limhu, V'hu kilabi. The man, and V'hu kalavi, he was from Kalev. The man's name was Naval, and his wife's name was Avigail. The woman was intelligent and beautiful, but the man was difficult and an evildoer. He was a descendant of Kalev. The very name Naval, which many Mefarshim say was actually a nickname given to him, connotes both a rotten person, the same root as the word nevela, a treif animal, and also an ingrate, like the Pasuk in Parshat Hazinu says, "Do you thus requite the Lord, O people who are Naval, ungrateful and unwise?" Despite coming from the lofty family of Kalev, from the tribe of Yehuda, Naval himself was a very difficult person. Yet in strong contrast, as bad as Naval was, his wife Abigail was righteous. She's described as an extremely intelligent woman. We will soon see her quick thinking and her wise words come in to save David from overstepping his rights in a terrible way. And also as an extremely beautiful woman. Our rabbis list her as one of the four most beautiful women to ever live, along with Sarah, Rachav, and Esther. Pasuk Dalet, David was in the wilderness when he heard that Naval was shearing his sheep. As a group of people constantly on the run and wandering from place to place, aside from concerns of physical safety, David's most pressing and constant concern was how to properly acquire and provide food for himself and his men during this time. Ever so careful to only take things that rightfully belonged to him, the stress of providing for his men was a real one. And so hearing that the wealthy Naval, who was a relative of his from the tribe of Yehuda, was in the midst of preparing a big festive meal in honor of the shearing of his sheep, and as we'll soon see in the psukim, David and his men had actually protected Naval and his shepherds for free during much of their time in that area. David figured this might be a great opportunity to go and ask him for some food. The Malbim further notes that he thought that this time of prosperity and happiness for Naval might elicit him to do good for David and his men, even if generally he was not the most generous. Similar to an idea I once learned on the Perek of Tehillim, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, Perek 92. When we say the words, Tov Lehodo LaHashem, it is good to praise Hashem. Another reading of the words is, Tov, Hashem gives us the good, the blessings in the first place. Why? In order that we'll be able to praise him and do further good in this world. When you have good, do good. So Psukim Hei through Teh tell us that David sent out 10 of his attendants, and David said to them, "Go off to Carmel and approach Naval, inquiring about his welfare and greeting him in my name," which was a sign of honor to Naval. "And say to him as follows, such success for life. According to Rashi, may the success you're experiencing right now always continue forevermore. May peace be upon you and your entire household and all that is yours. I hear now that you are in the midst of shearing your sheep. I wanted to let you know that your shepherds have actually been with us for much of their time out in the pastures. We personally helped guard your sheep while we were in the area. Who knows how many of them would have been gone, missing, or been harmed had it not been for mine and my shepherd's help. And we helped them with anything they needed while they were with us. We included them in whatever ways we could. You can ask your servants yourself, and they will tell you. So please, kindly, let my attendants find favor in your eyes, and please give whatever you can to your servants and to your son, to David." So David's attendants came and told over to Naval all that David had asked of them. But in Psukim Yud 3 Yud Aleph, Naval responds back to David's men with insolence and disrespect. And he says, "Who is David, and who is the son of Yishai? These days the rebellious servants have increased, each against their masters. Should I take from my bread and my water and my meat that I have slaughtered for my shearers," leaving Hashem completely out of the picture, "and give to men whose origins I do not even know?" Naval was undermining David here, implying he's merely a descendant of Moab. He's not worthy of anything. If there's anyone here worthy of being the next king, it's really I, who have more pristine lineage than he does. And anyways, he's merely a runaway servant rebelling against his master Shaul. Why would I in any way need to give him any of my hard-earned meal? And on a deeper level, Naval was truly kafwe batov. He denied the good that was done for him. He was not open to hearing or admitting that David or his men had helped him in any way, nor was he open to repaying them for that at all. Now, taken aback, David's attendants turned back on their way, and in Pasuk Yud Bet reported to David in accordance with all these words. Upon a hearing of this direct affront to his kavod, openly disgracing the next Mashiach Hashem, the next up anointed king of Hashem, David was aghast. He truly felt that this was an affront to the honor of his upcoming kingship, and that Neville and his entire household deserved to die for this insolence. And so in Pasuk Yud Gimel, David commanded his men, Chigru ish et charbo, v'yachgiru ish et charbo, v'yachgor gam David et charbo, v'ya'alu acharei David ka'arba'a me'ot ish, u'matayim yashvu al hakelim. Each man girded his sword, so each girded his sword, and David too girded his sword. About 400 of them went up after David, while 200 others stayed behind with the belongings. At this point, most people knew that David had indeed been anointed and was chosen as the next king of Israel, something which the Mefarshim note Shmuel had not wanted disclosed during his lifetime. But now that he passed away in the beginning of the Perek, word was becoming and beginning to spread. And this affront would not set a good precedent for David and his upcoming kingship. So he decided with his men that Neville was therefore deserving of the punishment for his affront to the future king. But in Pesukim Yud Dalet through Yud Zayin, one of the young attendants of Abigail, Neville's righteous wife, rushed over to Abigail to tell her what was happening. Abigail had not been around during this interaction, and she was completely unaware of the entire exchange that had been going on. He told her of the good that David and his shepherds had done for them and their flock, and of the miserly and disheartening responses her husband responded back to them, and of the impending doom that was now looming over her entire household. So Pasuk Yirchet, Vatimaher Avigail, Vatikach Matayim Lechem Ushnayim Nivlayayin, Vechamesh Tzon Asuyot, Vechamesh Seim Kali, Umeat Zimukim, Umatayim Zveilim, Vatasem Al Hachomorim. Abigail quickly and graciously got together 200 loaves of bread, 2 containers of wine, 5 cooked sheeps, 5 seahs of toasted grain, 100 raisin clusters, and 200 cakes of pressed figs, and she put them on the donkeys. Although 5 cooked sheep was definitely not enough for David and all of his men, Abigail chose to offer what she had quickly on hand and not delay this mission in order to spare her family's life, and also in order not to invoke any suspicion on her husband's behalf, as if he were to see her or notice her, he would become upset. And Yotet, she told her young men to go ahead of her on their horses, bearing plentiful gifts for David and his men, and that she'd follow behind them. But she did not tell anything of this plan to her husband, Neville. And now Psukim Chaf through Lamed Aleph now tell over in great detail the interaction between David and Abigail. In her attempt to pacify him and protect herself and her entire household, Pasuk Chaf Gimel begins, V'haya hiro chavet al hachamor, v'yoredet b'seter hahar, v'hinei David v'anashav yordim likratav atifkosh otam. Then it happened, as she was riding on the donkey clandestinely descending the mountain, that behold, David and his men were descending the other mountain towards her, and she met them. In a class I learned back in college with Professor Smadar Rosenzweig, she taught us an intriguing Gemara in Megillah, Yudalid Amid Aleph, on this very words, which tells that when Abigail descended the Seter Hahar clandestinely in the mountain, she was actually coming forward to show David a mare, a blood-stained cloth from the hidden parts, starim, of the body. She brought forth the mare to him for him to examine, and he said to her, "But is blood shown at night? One does not examine marot at nighttime." To which she replied to David, "And are cases of capital law tried at night? Since capital cases are not decided at night either, you cannot condemn Neville to death at night either." David then continued that Neville, her husband, is a rebel against the throne, as David had already been anointed king by Shmuel. But Abigail responded back that Shaul was still the acting king, and as such, David had no authorization yet to try someone for rebelling against his monarchy. According to the Gemara, David accepted her words, and he blessed her for preventing him of coming upon bloodshed on this very day. But to try to watch this unfold through some of the psukim, Chaf Aleph through Lamed Aleph now detail the back and forth exchange between David and Abigail in further length. David repeats the grievances of Neville's interactions with his men, and Abigail, in great humility, comes off her horse and bows before her master David, and then she takes the blame for her husband's actions, asking him not to pay unnecessary attention to her husband. Ish habliyal hazeh al Neville. Ki kishmo kenhu, naval shmo univala imo, ba'ani amatecha lo ra'iti et na'ari adoni asher shalachta. "Please, my lord, pay no attention to this base man," to Nabal, "for he is just what his name implies," an expression which is actually used here in Israel when someone's nice actions match their positive actions. They say, "Kishma kenhi." Nabal is his name, and revulsion is his trait. "And I, your maidservant, did not see the young men who you sent." She continues further beseeching him, expressing that she knows her husband may have acted wrongly. "But now why take vengeance on an entire household? Will this set a good precedent for others in the future? Will this help your future kingship in any way?" And she presents him with the donkey-laden gifts that she had presented and prepared for David and his men, again beseeching David to pardon her and her household, and blesses David that Hashem should grant him an enduring house, for he is righteously fighting Hashem's battles. And again she implores him, "You have done nothing wrong henceforth. Please don't stumble here and unnecessarily shed blood here. Hashem will surely appoint you as the next king of Israel. Don't let this be a blemish on you and your entire future kingship." And in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, she notes that when Hashem does make my master David succeed, don't forget your maidservant. Now, hearing Abigail's poignant words, David takes her words to heart, and he says in Pasuk Lamed Bet, "Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, asher shalachech hayom hazeh likrati. Praise be Hashem, the God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me." And Lamed Gimel, "Ubaruch ta'amech ubrucha at asher kilitini hayom hazeh mibo v'damim v'hoshea yadili." And blessed is your advice, and blessed are you. You have restrained me from coming to bloodshed and avenging myself by my own hand. Lamed Dalid, "Had you not come quickly to greet me here, not a single one of Nabal's line would have been left by daybreak. You truly saved your entire family, and you have saved me as well." And Lamed Hay, "So David then accepted what she had brought for him, and he said to her, 'Ali l'shalom l'beitech, re'i shamati b'kolech v'esa panayech.' Go up in peace to your house. See, I have heeded your advice, and I shall show you grace." And now Psukim Lamed Vav through Lamed Chet. Abigail now traveled back to her home to her husband Nabal, while he was in the middle of his sheep shearing feast, a feast that was truly fit for a king. And Nabal was in a merry mood, completely drunk, so she did not tell him anything that had occurred until the next morning. But when Nabal awoke the next morning, after having slept off the wine, Abigail then told him everything that had occurred the night before. But instead of being grateful to Abigail for her wisdom and quick thinking in saving them, the pasuk tells us, "Vayamat libo bekirbo uhu haya le'even," that his heart seemed to have died within him, and he became almost comatose. The Mefarshim understand that his heart gave way from hearing all that Abigail had given away to David and his men. Even though in reality he had so much, this didn't even make a dent. Nonetheless, he died inside from the shock of the news. And the pasuk then tells us, "And it was 10 days later that Hashem struck Nabal and he died." According to one opinion of Rashi, Hashem delayed Nabal's death so it would not overlap with the national mourning period for the holy and great Shmuel who passed away in the beginning of our story today. A second opinion tells us that these were actually the Aseret Yemei Teshuva. Hashem was perhaps giving him some semblance of a chance to correct his ways, but when those days were not utilized for their true purpose and he remained unchanged, he then died on Yom Kippur itself. And now Pasuk Lamed Het, when David heard the news that Nabal had died, he said, "Baruch Hashem asher ravet riv cherpati miyad Nabal ve'et avdo chashach mira'ah ve'et ra'at Nabal heshiv Hashem b'rosho." Blessed is Hashem who has taken up the cause of my disgrace from the hands of Nabal and has prevented his servant from wrongdoing, and Hashem has truly turned Nabal's evil upon his head. David was so thankful that Nabal got his just punishment without him having had to be the one to have spilled the blood. And then the pasuk continues that David sent messengers to go and take Abigail, the wise and righteous Abigail who had saved him here, for a wife. And Psukim Mem through Mem Bet tell us that upon hearing this request, Abigail bowed her head down again in humility, and she happily accompanied the servants to become David's wife. And pasuk Mem Gimel, David also went on to take another righteous wife for himself, by the name of Ahinoam. And so the two of them became his new wives, in addition to his wife Michal, as is noted by the Malbim. And our closing pasuk for today actually opens up an entire ordeal, one which we will just briefly address, but there is most certainly more to unpack here. Pasuk Mem Dalet closes off our parak by telling us that Shaul took his daughter Michal, David's wife, and he gave her to Palti ben Laish from Galim instead as a wife. The Mefarshim are truly boggled by this action of Shaul here, and explain that perhaps He thought that a law in their marriage had actually not been valid, and as such she was able to be married to someone else. Or if it was in response to the affront he felt on behalf of his daughter, the daughter of a king, for David having taken more wives without her permission. There's a lot more to unpack here. But ultimately, Shaul took Michal and he married her off to another man. But to Palti ben Laish's great credit, our rabbis teach that he struck a sword in between the beds and never once lay a finger upon Michal all the days that she remained in his home. Again reminding us of the great strength that lies in the challenging midah of restraint, the ability to hold off from that which is in ours and to withhold actions when they're not truly proper in the given context, keeping our eyes set steadily on the long-term prize, a life governed solely by Hashem and what He wants most from us. And with that, we conclude our study of this extremely complex and deep parak for today. And tomorrow we will jump back into following David and his men on some more of their complex journeys, running away from Shaul and his men. Thank you so much for learning together. Today's parak is dedicated to the safety and peace of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. May the words of Nach uplift us and give us strength during these challenging times.